Lime, duh.
Phil was making a comment. You said you'd never seen me in a sweater before. Is that what you said, Phil?
Yeah, I've never seen you in a sweater.
Yeah, well, get used to it. Sometimes it's time to elevate. It's time to elevate, you know, by...
Dan decides to start wearing a sweater in the end of January. Right now it's 70 degrees in L.A.
I'll tell you one thing. This is a little BTS for the folks out there, though. The Cow Studio runs cold. Cow Studio runs cold. It's a little cold in here.
Yeah.
There have been times where I'm touting my muscles, showing off the wares.
Brandishing.
Yeah, brandishing masculinity, exercising my narcissism, exploring my own personal space in a public domain. And I felt, truthfully, a bit chilly, you know? Yo, speaking of that, how would you ever think, like, because you know adrenaline hits, but you ever think, like, when they're doing, like, an outdoor mania and it's kind of cold out, but your gear is just trunks?
Uh-huh.
You think you ever feel cold or you just feel nothing?
I think you're probably, like, chilly. Like, as soon as you step out of Gorilla, it's probably like, oop, like, you know, this is cold. And then once you, like, make your way down to the ramp and you're moving, you know, you warm up. But, yeah, no, there's definitely an initial moment of, like, bing, your nips go, it's too cold for not having a shirt on right now. Or pants, for that matter.
It's a bit cold. It's a bit nippy. They should do a snow mania. You know, like you can technically get like a snow Super
Frosty,
Bowl.
Frosty the snow mania. Snowmania.
Snowmania. They should do Wrestle Snowmania. And
The snowman.
It would be a nice touch. A snow
is a wrestler. Snowman is a wrestler who is just really into the snow for no fucking reason. And he never explains it. And he sucks. That's the snowman. Based
Welcome
on the
to the Comedians of Wrestling
paradigm.
Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast. Podcast about wrestling, sometimes for wrestling fans.
72% wrestling.
Comedians of Wrestling podcast. 72% wrestling. The perfect percentage from a perfect man, Alex Newman.
How about
the nasty one? We're showing his nastiness in a 666 hat right before we went on air. A little bit of a toad.
Is this a controversial hat? People have told me that I've seen people and they go like, "Oh wow, it's like a." Is this a controversial? Is this a statement piece?
I think technically, and correct me if I'm Jewish. That 666 is like the sign of the mark of the devil or whatever, right?
Mark of the beast.
The mark of the beast, right? So
the great betrayer.
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
If you wear something on yourself, right, it means you're a fan of it, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of the society is like, right? If you wear, you're like, oh, you must be a fan of that. That being said, and I'm taking this away from that 666 hat for a second, there is some poser merch in the mix.
For sure.
Like, wrestling right now, I noticed one of the biggest pieces of poser merch is there's a WrestleMania 6 era t-shirt, I want to say, that's around there. It's like Hogan, Warrior, and Macho.
Right.
That, like, everyone is wearing. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, they call that like Kohl's.
It's like a
mean?
Gray heather like a Target shirt with like a kind of a
Phil. You've seen it
intentionally.
Yeah, totally
distressed.
I was at Disneyland and I saw a couple of them. It's a shirt that's more like these are the shirts you got to watch. Don't try to too sweet those people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. That's more of a shirt. That shirt is more about wrestling as like an idea,
right? As like a throwback.
It's like wearing a Led Zeppelin t-shirt.
Right.
You know?
Those are the people who are like, oh my God, people still watch that shit? Like, that's good. You'll get those are the people in those shirts. You know what I mean? Or it's that shirt could be a stocking stuffer, I believe.
Yeah, definitely. That shirt costs $7.99 tops. It's the perfect gift.
That one's going around now. So there's always one wrestling poser shirt in the mix at a time. For a long time, there was a Warrior one when Urban Outfitters was like the king of t-shirts. Remember that zone?
Yeah.
They sold an Ultimate Warrior shirt that people were always wearing. ironically, which we call, it's why we put, Chev's always calls that like the Joy Division zone, because his sister has a Joy Division shirt, and she, it's like no chance she knows a single Joy Division song. You know what I mean?
I've seen this Joy Division shirt, and it's just the logo, and then it says, what is this? I saw it on Tumblr.
That's Phil Pessapani, by the way. It's actually technically Pessapane, but I'll never conform. Though I do call his parents' house the House of Pain. House of Pessapane.
House of
Pain. And I go in there, and frankly, they kick me out because I too much jumping around. And, hey, folks. But, yeah, so there is a lot of poser merch out there. So my point.
Wow. That took so long. For me to get
it was such a long walk, you know what? Off a short pier.
Worth it. Worth it.
Back to your 666 hat. It's definitely a Newman. You look like a guy who would.
Oh shit!
I think if I wore that, people would be like, "Oh, it's funny. He's wearing like a 666 hat." When you wear it, they're like, "Yo, this guy. Where's the sacrifice tonight?" You know what I mean?
And I'll tell you if you know the secret password.
But you, why do you like Satan stuff? Because you're also like an atheist, right? I mean, is it just because it challenges authority?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, because it's like, it's the equivalent
six,
of being...
six tattooed on my leg, just like a stick and poke.
Oh, nice.
You both do?
No, I don't.
No.
You did it together? You stuck and poke each other?
Yeah. Well, yes, but not for tattoo reasons. Erase your mind, no, but I mean, even conceptually, so most Satanists don't believe in biblical Satan.
Right.
And I don't even really consider myself a Satanist, but like...
But can I just clarify something for the audience? This is part of the 28%.
Okay? Yeah, for sure. part the- it is. And so like, but Lucifer, the story of Lucifer is one of like individuality and rejection of like established authority and status quo.
Because he was kicked out of heaven?
Well, he rejected his place. At the side of God.
And then he fell from heaven. Is that the, or is that a different guy?
Right. That's the guy.
Was that Prince? I don't know. Was it Lucifer or Prince who fell from heaven?
That's a good drinking game. Lucifer or Prince. Vault full of music that to be released in the future. Both.
Both. Trick question. That's both.
Yeah. And plus, it just also is like, I listen
created
to metal.
Purple
I
Rain.
To metal. Right.
That's actually both. Also
both.
You haven't seen it yet.
Right.
But get ready for some physical, literal Purple Rain will be showing up. That will be the mark of, not the beast. It'll be the mark of Lucifer's rising. That's him climbing. That's
chocolate.
Actually technically sweat. Lucifer sweats purple. It's him climbing back up to heaven.
Right. And Chocolate Rain, trick question, neither.
Neither. That was Tazon Day. That was Tazon Day. Patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. Support the pod. Get access to bonus episodes. Every bonus episode that comes out will be recorded after Dynamite. That comes out Friday morning. So you get a Monday free hit and a couple bucks. You support the free and you get bonus. Plus, for the people at the $10 tier every month, supporting the podcast, keeping the lights on, babies. I'm introducing a new bonus episode. I'll update the Patreon this week, but I'm going to have a special guest episode every month, which will be someone, and those episodes will be not necessarily talking to Marks. I mean, there will be some wrestling talk. That would be a 28% wrestling talk and a 72% just yucking it up with some of my friends, some people you guys want to hear from. And also, one episode will be with Stu's Wood because of some conversation.
It was
a
real Daniel Bryan moment in the Discord.
Yeah, they had a real. They had a real Occupy Raw moment in the Discord channel, which, by the way, if you're a patron, you get access to the Discord channel. It's worth $2 a month. You can be part of our Discord. Everyone demanded an episode with Stu's Wood as a bonus episode. So Stu's Wood, listener to the show, forger of the eco-friendly cow title, an episode with him. And then we'll episode with other people as well who are not Stu's.
I have to look up the name. So like, I'm not smart enough to make this reference. I have to look up the name of the character, but this is who Stu is. It's like the guy who is like in Viking lore, wherever Odin lives, whatever the fuck that's called.
He lives in Fraggle Rock, I believe.
He has, right. So in Fraggle Rock, they have a dwarf that is their like forge master. And so that's what Stu is. But I'm not smart enough to make the reference, so I'll just describe it.
I'm too smart to even talk about this, but...
All right, easy.
Folks. Anyway, let's get into it. We got the Patreon. We got wrestling to talk about.
I just thought of... You should... Hey. Here, I'm just going to throw this out there before we get started. You should come up with a gimmick or a character that's... Instead of Dr. Manhattan, it's Dr. Long Island.
Anyway,
but still, a lot of the same powers, but he's from Long Island.
Yeah, he's like... Instead of being in Mars, he's in Massapequa.
Yeah. Hold on, my camera's bugging out right now.
He's meditating in Massapequa. I don't know. I love Dr. Manhattan. I started listening to that. What you wanted me to listen to? What, the Doomsday Clock?
Doomsday Clock, yeah.
I got to get back to that.
You got to read it. You got to read the graphic novel.
Here's how I'm going to begin. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Coming at you, everybody! The purveyor of violence, Jon Moxley /
Jean Ambrose. The Lunatic Cringe.
Jon Moxley back from his soak. You know, mm-hmm. He's back from getting clean, fighting his deems. And we talked a little bit of this on the bonus episode, but... then he wrestled on Rampage, which we got to see. So we got to see what we really needed to see, which was the shirt off, right? I mean, this is what I needed to see on Rampage. But, by the way, just a macro point about Rampage. I really dig how seriously they take Rampage, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think they do a nice job of making Rampage not the B show, you know? Like, clearly Dynamite takes the focus, but they do enough stuff where I still feel like I got to watch Rampage. Like, it's nice that, like, all Hook's matches are Rampage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yo, if you want to see Hook, you got to watch Rampage, you know?
Sorry, my camera is, like, freaking out.
Yeah, I see that.
There we go.
And then they have like, you know, they had Moxley's return match be on a Rampage, you know? So I think that's just, I just think it's a nice touch. Now, look, we're heading into, and it's kind of a symptom of wrestling, is the formulaic nature of how you tape wrestling. So right. It's like, it's really, if you're TK, you're like, all right, I can have Moxley cut a promo on Dynamite, and then once we record Rampage, he can wrestle there. Now I'm getting two segments on two shows from our top guys, you know? But, you know, you're never going to avoid us seeing through the fucking fabric of it. That's part of why we like wrestling. If it was just the wrestling, we wouldn't like it probably. Right. So anyway, I like that, but there is a thing going on in AEW in general where it's like, I know that that Jon Moxley match is going to open up Rampage. Like, Tony Khan's becoming, he's very obsessed with just kicking off the show with the top thing.
Yeah.
Which is
nice. If it's not broke, right? Like, it seems to work.
It does work, but... It would kind of be nice if I felt like I was going to get some... At the beginning of the show, I kind of thought maybe I would get some promo I didn't expect or something. Like, I think that Dynamite, they've been very good at surprises, but I don't know. I think they could switch it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know. Don't have to always, but I get... Tony Khan's a smart guy. He's recognizing the numbers are falling off as the show's going on, so he's kicking off with the top thing. Back to Jon Moxley. So let's talk about Moxley's just look in general, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
It looks like he dropped
the hair back.
Yeah, and he dropped like 10 pounds or something, it looks like, at least.
At least 15 pounds lighter, I would say.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And look, when you're drinking, that shit is drinking, if you want to know, not only is drinking extra calories.
Yeah.
Not to sound like, you know, square
it's carbs,
uncle.
Sugar, all that.
What I learned about alcohol from, like, actually from, you know, getting in shape and talking to my trainers and shit, alcohol is like, it's not even just the calories. Like, what it does to your body is that when you put alcohol in your system, right, your body spends all of its energy breaking down alcohol, right?
Right.
Like attacking this poison in your body.
Right.
And then it stops all of its other processes, right? Like of breaking down fat, right?
Oh, shit. Okay.
So my trainer has said to me before, he's like, please drink on days you're not working out. It's like, I want your body getting the gains. He's like, if you know you're going to have a day where you're going to drink, it's like, plan that as a day you're not even working out. So your body's, you're not fucking up your body when it's actually like processing your gains as much as possible, right?
Right.
So alcohol not only adds calories, it also tells your body to keep you at the status quo.
Right,
you know?
Right.
At the same time, you know, I'm sure someone can explain that way more eloquently, but it's
no, I got it.
Not something to be consumed regularly. Like, that's just as simple as it is. Mm-hmm. Okay? So if you're John Moxley, you
heard
cut
it here
that
first.
Shit out.
You heard it here first, everybody.
I'm the first person to ever say.
In moderation.
And that's why we get big sponsors here.
Monday Night Raw is presented by Southern New Hampshire University.
So, with the Sheamus music in the back.
I just wish more people, I wish that was a more well-known kind of like axiom. Like, don't drink a lot of alcohol.
Sheamus should be such a bigger star. Just a random thing.
Really?
Sheamus, but the thing about Sheamus is that he looks awesome. I kind of feel like if Sheamus never spoke.
Define awesome.
Because he's like 7 foot spiky redhead who's jacked up. His skin is like pale as shit. Like, it's a great look. He has a great look. No?
I don't think that any of those words.
He's been heavyweight champion. Describe a couple times.
Like awesome. Or like
you don't think whatever. You don't think he's like I don't know. Where you at on Sheamus, Phil?
No need to ask. He's a smooth
operator. Actually, there's no need to ask. There's no need to ask.
No opinion on Sheamus.
Yeah, really.
What?
He's like, that's like having a favorite
offended,
flavor.
That's what you called me in for. That's what you're asking me.
We need to bring in the big guns for a question like, what do you think of Sheamus? You know, Sheamus. We need to bring in that we...
I don't think of Sheamus.
I mean, either. He's thinking, late night, oh, I think about a Sheamus. All right, so... All right, what's happening?
He seems John like Moxley. A nice guy, so but like Sheamus, like, I don't know.
Oh, my God.
So like,
I got Sheamus' sort of, new him, entrance music here, actually. All right.
It's just like the people who are like obsessed with the movie Boondock Saints and like or like Snatch, right? Like it's still that's who he is to me. Like he's very 2003 edgelord kind of like, yeah, I don't know.
I just rewatched The Departed. You're naming like all the movies that could have that Dropkick Murphy song in it.
Yes,
right,
and definitely a Mighty Mighty Boss
Gun
song.
Informant in my midst, rap. Nicholson in that movie. I'm not sure if Nicholson is good in that movie or not, but I love it. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, what was the last time you saw The Departed? Oh, I watched it on an airplane.
I think I maybe saw it in the theater when it came out, and that was it.
Oh my God! You know the thing about the movie is it's really good.
Yeah.
Fucking, there's a couple performances in that movie that are not my bag, baby. Mark Wahlberg's in that movie, just like doing his like straight Wahlberg thing. That is like, yeah. It's like, yo, why don't you kiss your fucking mother? Why don't you say your mother? You fucking do that. You want to say that? Like, you know, full, like that. Oh, that's like, yo, why don't you kiss? He doesn't know how to say anything. That it's just like, why don't you like your mother with those fucking mouth? You know, like whatever the fuck you say. You know what I mean?
Why don't you kiss your mother, huh? You talk to your mom that way, huh?
Yeah, yeah. But he's like, yo, why don't you fucking, you're like, yo, oh, yeah, you talk to your mother like that? You know, like, it's like so much of that, and you're like, everyone else has like, they can do a Boston, and he's from Boston, but right. Everyone else can do a Boston accent and just like, be kind of regular, you know what I mean?
Right,
everything
right,
with him is like, yeah. He's like, yo, you got the keys to my car?
He's like,
you got
the
my
Mickey
keys
Mouse.
To my car or what?
He's like,
you got my
like,
keys to my car?
He's like, he's the Mickey Mouse of like Boston. Like yeah. He's like the most of that place.
Yeah. And then it's like Scorsese. This, I mean, I don't know why I'm here. This is the comedians have departed. And but Scorsese has this like running thing where like Leo and Wahlberg are like working together undercover, like the deepest undercover you could possibly be. That's like the whole premise, right?
Spoiler alerts.
Yeah. 2005's Departed. Right? And like they work together, but it's so adversarial. They literally like beat the shit out of each other. Right. And you're like, yo, this can't be. Like, you can't have two guys working this deep undercover against a common enemy who are just like, yo, you stole that again? I'll fucking punch you in the face, dude. I'll fucking erase you right from the system, man. And you're like, what the? Like, what? Like, this guy's in the middle of, like, the belly of the beast of the fucking, of undercover, of organized crime in Boston, and you're being an asshole. You're like his biggest advocate. Right. What is that? That's just Scorsese. Everybody busts balls, but Wahlberg is just off the chains in it.
Everybody busts balls. That's what Scorsese says every day right before they start shooting for that day. He's like, oh, I thank everybody for being here. Yeah. You know, it's going to be a fun shoot. Remember, just one thing.
Yeah.
Everybody busts balls.
Bust balls, please.
Please. No improvising unless you're busting balls.
It's great. Anyway, the movie is great. David's pretty good at it. Anyway, we're talking about, anyway, I'm going to keep reviewing The Departed for you guys.
Yeah.
But I hadn't rewatched it. I haven't seen it in a long fucking time.
This is totally random. I was trying to watch some of SmackDown or Raw to kind of just like see, like before this episode. WWE is really fucking itself by not making reruns readily available, like right after they happen.
They've never had any, they've never even tried to do that, right?
No, yeah. And like AEW, it's on like 2 days later or like the next day or something.
On the TBS app and stuff, right?
Right. And then Raw and SmackDown are a month behind. You can go watch the Raw from right before Christmas if you want, but that's it.
The nightmare before Christmas.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Yeah. Like, I'm not a marketing.
By the way, we're talking about Jon Moxley right now. Just want to remind you of that. Oh, I agree.
But anyway, yeah. But Moxley.
Alec Baldwin in The Departed, okay? He has a great line where
the only thing I remember about that movie is there's like a scene where like 10 people get shot like in a row.
Yeah.
Where like there's like in a building and it's like, oh shit, you bang, oh you bang, bang, bang,
yeah,
bang.
Yeah, it's a great scene. They're all like kind of like doing reveals like, hey, I'm undercover, I'm a bad guy. And they're just like, oh, thank God. Boom, he kills him. And he's like, you're here? Thank God you came here.
It's
Boom.
A great slacker.
It's a, like, great, it's a great scene. It's a great scene. That's like how Matt Damon gets like, he gets so lucky.
Right.
He just kind of kills everybody. Yeah. Anyway, very fun scene. Alec Baldwin has a line where he goes, people don't like people with an immaculate record. I like people with an immaculate record. I have an immaculate record. It's fucking hilarious. It's like perfectly how you should be playing like Boston. And then Wahlberg's like, he's like, yo, I got an immaculate record.
Hey,
like, yo,
no.
we have everyone here. You fucking dick. Everyone's got an immaculate record.
Yeah, you don't think I got it? Hey, yo, cuz, you don't think I got an immaculate record? Meet me at Dunkin', kid. I'll show you my record.
Meet me at Dunkin'. I'm putting this whole fucking town
we'll
in my rear
view.
We'll
go get a pack of Parliaments and meet me at Dunkin', kid. I'll show you my record. Don't know about me, kid. I got an immaculate record. Tell your mom about my record.
Tell your mom
about my record, okay?
Oh, man. So Moxley comes back. He's grown. He grew the hair back out. I'm surprised how much hair he's able to grow. Are you? I almost thought he might have got
some work
done.
Good for him.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's got kind of like, you know, John Cryer receding pattern happening.
I kind of was bummed to see his hair back, though. I kind of was liking that he was now going with the shaved head look.
Yeah. I feel like him being shaved head is just so weird. 15 pounds heavier, shaved head, perfect.
Oh, better.
Perfect. 15 pounds lighter shaved head, Dark Order territory, and we want to stay far away from that.
Well, did you like Beefy Moxley better than now we got GQ Mox?
Objectively, yes, but not like, I mean, the state of his health at the time is not one of my guys, but
so,
like...
He grew his hair back. And random fact, I don't want to forget to say this. Rollins called him Mox on SmackDown during a promo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Rollins was like, hey, like, you know, he's talking to Reigns.
Right.
And he was like, it was like when it was me, you, and Mox. He called him Mox.
Oh, shit.
And I almost didn't even register it, too.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're like, he's so Mox now.
Ooh, I'm marking out. Could you imagine? This will never in a billion,
yeah,
kabillion years happen. Not even in the multiverse does this happen. Royal Rumble. John Moxley.
Okay, I think it's possible. I think all that shit's possible. I think it's possible. I absolutely berserk. So we talked about that on the bonus episode a little bit, so I'll run it by you.
Who's that bad for? It's bad for nobody.
Nobody. Well, it's bad for Vince's ego.
It's way better for... We have to admit, though. Here's what the situation I was laying out. It's way better for AEW than it is for WWE. But my argument would be, if you have Moxley come in and win the Rumble, right? And then you go for the Shield three-way, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? If you go for that match and you don't have Moxley win, it's good for AEW. Plus, you get the Shield pop that AEW loves. Like, they love it.
Right.
So Vince gets what he wants. Plus, you could work in an angle of Vince when Moxley looks like he's going to win and Vince runs down to the ring and is like, he can't be fucking winning. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just, I can't see that happening.
Yeah.
I can't see that happening, but I could see Moxley in the Rumble. Now, the other question is.
Yeah, I don't see him winning, but no. I get this. I don't know. I also don't think it's going to happen,
no.
But it would be very.
Be prepared for like Lashley or McIntyre Rumble win. Like we're not looking. Everyone should temper their expectations for this Rumble. Like this is going to be
applied
a very
razor.
Muted shit. Like it just is what it is. Like they have not positioned themselves for an exciting win right now. You know,
right?
To the point that we're dipping into the AEW well is very bad for them. You know. But the most exciting person who could win the Royal Rumble is Cody Rhodes. You know, just simply put,
a guy who doesn't work there.
Because if you have Cody win the Rumble, right?
Right.
And if you have Cody wrestle Reigns at Mania, right? That's the match. Like, that is the match.
Yeah.
You know, and in terms, why is it the match? Not just because it's the competing companies, it's because they've made Reigns transcend the whole company of WWE, where he literally calls himself God mode, right?
He's Dr. Mahalo.
He's Dr. Mahalo, okay? He grows tired of these people and their bullshit.
I don't know.
And they've even put him in a place where... They've even put Reigns in a place where a Rock match is kind of dumb.
Right.
Like, it would be fun. We'd all pop for it. I mean, why not, right? I don't see it happening. I don't think The Rock is... The risk to hurt himself when he's training so hard is so...
Right.
The setbacks for him are just so not worth it.
If he does, it'll be a five-second squash, probably Rock over Reigns.
Yeah, it's more like... Oh, Rock over Reigns.
There's no fucking way.
Well, it's crazy because The Rock could just call Vince right now. Whatever Vince's plans are, The Rock's so powerful, he could call Vince and be like, yo, I want to do another run with the title. Be like, all right, great, you'll win it at Mania, and then that'll be that, right?
Exactly. And there's no fucking way that The Rock would take the hit to his ego to lose. I don't care whose family, what, he definitely would not. The man is not, like, you know.
He took the loss to Cena.
Yeah, but like that's not his family. It's not been this long since he wrestled.
You don't think he'll let Reigns? You don't think he would let Reigns pin him?
I don't think so.
Oh, I think he would.
I don't think so.
I think he would. He's The Rock, baby. He smells what he's cooking. Let's see what Tulo has to say about it. Okay, no. We're talking. He wants to say something else.
Yo, Dana's badass, man.
Yo, so But what I'm saying is that when the Reigns' gimmick is that no one in this company is on my level, and it's so shoot.
Yeah.
It is like so shoot that it's almost just takes you out of the show. Right. You need to seek talent elsewhere.
Right.
And that's where you have, like, you're kind of in trouble. They've put Roman in a spot that's similar to where Charlotte is in, like, the women's division. You know? Where these characters are on another level.
Right.
Not even Becky's on that, like, level. Even though Becky might be arguably a bigger star. Although, Becky has been not able to capture really any attention since her return. You know, right. It's just, she's headed into Mania, and
it's because her heat before she left was...
It was
false anyway. Like, everyone trying their best to be as excited about her as they were when she got punched in the face.
Right. And look, that's how it goes, right? Like, you know that. We all know it doesn't stay the same. But the question is, back to Jon Moxley. Jon Moxley was skinny. He looked really slim. He looked in great shape. He looked really slim.
Yeah.
Really slim. What'd you think of his jacket?
I don't love the...
That's the main thing I wanted to ask you. It took me 30 minutes to get there, but yeah. I wanted to ask Newman what he thought of Moxley's jacket.
And I have an opinion. I don't love the sort of like metalwork.
Yeah, I think it was off game, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, who is this? Whose jacket is this? That he like? Why is there metal adornment?
Is it the kind of the thing that like you kind of in kayfabe are like he spray paints it right before he goes out?
Yeah, or right? Like, and it falls in that zone for me where like so like in a lot of like fantasy stuff, even in Magic, I'm sure there's stuff where
the Gathering.
Yeah, there's races of people that are like in Lord of the Rings, like the orcs or like this truly evil, like badass, demonic, right? But all of their gear tends to be like very beautifully like ornate and have like, and it's just funny to me to think of someone who's like that obsessed with violence, like sitting down and being like, I got to make my gear look sick.
Well, I mean. Like, I could push past it because it's kind of like, yeah, you know, he gets someone who makes his shit. But it just felt, it's definitely like, I'm not done with that mock.
Or it feels like it's weird.
Why not just change the color? That's what I would have done.
It feels like it's weird that he would care about, like, having some sort of, like, thing on his jacket other than, like, his name spray painted or something.
Because
it's always funny. It's just funny to me when, like, the aesthetics of, like badassness. Because you would think that someone who was like badass and like cool, cold, wouldn't give a shit.
Yeah, well, that's always isn't that always kind of the bullshit of it? Is like someone who's dressed like my thing is that whenever I see someone who looks like a Robert Smith or whatever, right. You know, like that look, right. I'm like, yeah, like I just picture you like purchasing like fingernail polish and like putting applying eyeliner and like to me it's always like I when you have a look that's like punk or whatever, I'm like, it's not like, to me it's like you're taking time to like look in a mirror more than someone who's not manicured in that way, which is essentially your point, right?
Which, well, yeah,
like the effort is always like, so it's like when somebody is like, even if you like drive a motorcycle, you have to like go purchase a motorcycle. Like it's easier to just like,
right. There's use a decision your dad's that Kia this is or whatever, now. You know what I mean? Yeah, there's a decision where it's like, now this is part of my identity. Yeah,
like I can't look past you just being like, that's my look, like right. My look. Like whereas like why I always like I always in my life have always admired people I knew who were like big time, but you couldn't tell. You know,
right.
One of my friend's dad growing up was like a pretty big deal, Hollywood, like an agent guy for like big music people and blah, blah, blah. Right. Like if you hung out with him, you would see he would get into like a nice car. You know what I mean?
Right.
But like he was just like a dad on the sideline at the, you know what I mean? Like in just like the, he wasn't like done up. And I remember even younger just being like, that's so fucking cool that like you're not like flaunting your status. And then it's always like the people who are like people who I'm not impressed with who are like do that, who flaunt their status and shit, you know?
Right.
Odd. You know, so I don't know if that necessarily applies to Ambrose here.
Before
but the
we
jacket
move on,
was a little sterile, you know?
Before we move on, I just want to say I can already, before anybody says, well, what about Malakai Black, he's not immune to this critique of mine. It's weird. Although he does kind of justify it by it's like part of his like religion and his church and his house. And it's like all these things like it, but it's still weird when evil, brutal things are like, I got to make my gear look sick.
Look, but that part of that's always going to be part of wrestling. But right. Malakai, I don't give him a knock for that at all because it's like his gimmick is not like I just rolled out of bed to fight. Like I'm not like a like you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like
right,
like
right,
Moxie's gimmick is more like a bar fighter. Like right. And by the way, his in ring match, the way he was manhandling Ethan Page, like he was choking his neck. Like he really like that's what I think about Mox is that he did since he's left WWE and he put his fucking foot. You know, he was like, I put his money where his mouth was, and he's really earned my respect. Is his wrestling. He feels like the purveyor of violence. Like he wrestles and really sloppy and dirty. Like, you know, he feels like a dirty fighter. His bites are fucking, he's like biting him right away. Right. I like all that. That's like, he's like a bar fighter. This is a side note. There's a lot of guys in AEW where violence is their, like one of their adjectives. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
And it's,
the manager of violence.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Kyle O'Reilly's the violent artist, you know?
Oh, right.
There's another one, too. I don't remember, but it's tough because Moxie's the purveyor of violence like that, right? He's like the top dog. So
right.
I don't know. Like,
the importer, the exporter of violence.
I'm the violent curator. I run a small art gallery in Soho of violence.
I choose violence and then I arrange it in such a way that a story is told.
The incubator of violence. I store. I will store violence for you until it's ready to be used properly. Temperature controlled violence.
Yeah, the storage. The storage container of violence.
The storage container.
The use store it. Storage container of violence.
Okay.
So $29.95 a month.
Happy to see Mox back. Oh, when Mox walked by Daniel Bryan, this was one of my favorite fucking moments.
Gave me the goosey bees.
Okay, so that I thought was amazing television production. Now, doesn't look good like WWE shit. It was just clearly like a back curtain. But that felt like I was not expecting something to happen there.
Mm-hmm.
He was just walking back and Bryan Danielson there. And you're like, oh, shit. And I was saying my criticism of Dynamite was like they didn't like Moxley cut a promo. It was a great promo, great personal promo, told perfectly. I gave him credit for like how poetically he talked about alcoholism without mentioning alcoholism. You know what I mean? I thought that was like great, like in wrestling where there's almost no art to promos anymore in that way, where he was like, he said like I'm free, and he's like I had this dream. About like a cloud over me. Like that was all really worked for me, you know, felt authentic. One thing about Moxley that really works is that he really feels like himself. It's part of his magic, you know?
Yeah. I like his energy too, where he's sort of like, I mean, he's like so like serpentine and like slithering and he's like, I'm thirsty.
Yeah.
Like what is, I don't know what it is, but it's like.
It is very unique somehow. It's kind of like a reptilian like quagmire thing. Like like a little like right, like but it's fucking cool, man.
It works. Yeah.
And like that was the point I was making on the bonus episode where it's like this episode of Dynamite. I was complaining about the episode of Dynamite last week is the worst promoed episode I'd seen, right? Mm-hmm. It didn't. It had no Jericho. It had no Cody. It had no Moxley. You know, it had no Danielson. It had none of the. Like, and so all the promos were. I don't even remember who was cutting promos. It was like Adam Cole and Red Dragon, which was just terrible. And then we'll talk about Adam Cole. I know that's going to be controversial, but whatever. I don't even remember who was cutting promos. They were terrible. There was a Jade Ruby.
Oh my God!
Riot backstage promo. So Jade can be really bad, you know.
Oh my God! See, there was
this episode. I was going to say this episode. You had the WWE guys showing these AEW guys how it's done. to the point where I'm like, if I hear anybody give me the criticism of like Moxley, Daniel Bryan, like any kind of shit about like those are two WWE guys, blah, 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 I'm just like, shut your mouths. Like, shut your mouth. What these guys are two guys who were so good and unconventionally sized too, and both became WWE champions. Okay? That's all you need to think about. Not like those are WWE guys. They're not Batista. They're not like Ultimate Warrior, right?
Right.
They're guys who are so good at wrestling they couldn't even be fucking denied, and now they're in a more pure environment. If you don't see it that way, that's your loss, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah. All right, what were you saying? Sorry, I interrupted you. Do you forget?
I forget.
Oh, man. Sorry, I wanted to make that. I wanted to package that up.
No, it's all good.
Let's go to Phil. What was Newman about to say? He doesn't know. Look, what? Folks. Nothing. Nothing.
Okay.
We're talking about Ambrose. And
we're still talking about Moxley. We have never moved past it.
No, we never moved past it. Well, we can move past it.
Knights of the Black or Kings of the Black Throne.
How would you describe Adam Cole as a character if you had to?
Alcoholic bully. I don't know where I'm getting alcoholic from, but it feels like, I don't know, like a bully, like a dirtbag bully.
I was describing that segment last week, and I was like, Adam Cole comes on. He's like, I'm going to tell you story time. He says, boom. He has a girlfriend who's a dentist. Like if you turn this show on, you'd be like, I don't get this guy at all.
Yeah, but what kind of gimmick do you – is he like supposed to be a mechanic or like a plumber or like what do you want from him?
No, but there's something about Ambrose moving like that. There is something about there's something about him that just doesn't work for me. And I do think it's a writing tweak. And I think because he's so established, he's not going to make that pivot. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like he's just going to float into the meta. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He is sort of like perfect.
He could use to shake it up. So I'm saying, yeah.
So, but the thing is like he's one of my guys. Like I'm not denying that, but like,
not one of my guys.
He definitely seems. Oh, yeah, I understand that. Very controversial.
He got fired.
He seems more suited for a manager role in a way where it's like the leader of a faction. Like that's why it makes sense for him. That's why Undisputed Era made sense. He is best served being the leader of like much more violent and bigger guys. Even though I love his wrestling, I want him to also be a wrestler. It just seems like his energy, his character is more of like a syndicate leader or like a, you know what I mean?
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about like Pacino and like Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
You're talking about like that could work for him. Is that like you acknowledge his size where it's like, hey, he's smaller, but he surrounds himself by a bunch of like Wardlow types like MJF does or whatever.
Right.
And then he could win these matches, but sometimes he gets his ass kicked a little bit. You'd probably buy that a little more, you know?
Right, right.
I'm saying I don't think he even needs to do that. He could get himself over by cutting promos that are not just all over the place. Like, it's generic. It's more energy-based. Like, Adam Cole is a guy who tricks you into thinking he cut a good promo with energy and screaming, you know?
Oh, right, yeah. He casts minor illusion.
Exactly. Yes, in D&D, he's a sorcerer, okay? Yeah. Or he rolls with the sorcerer. Like, maybe Bobby Fish is his sorcerer who will cast that illusion for him, you know?
Right.
And then everyone sees him as 20 feet tall.
Right.
But he'll literally just be like, you know, I think the audience is smelling through it. They're starting to be like, yeah, that I get it. That's your girlfriend. I mean, Tulo's not. He's going insane. But I do think it's not.
Tulo,
I don't think
Tulo
it's working.
Tulo loves everything. So you can't base what's good off he thinks.
I'm watching this segment. It's like, he's like, boom, story time. This is my friends. They're two white guys called Red Dragon. And then my girlfriend comes out. This is a dentist. And you're supposed to know that her and I date. And like, I don't know. Then it's like the Young Bucks come out. They're dressed like The Rock in like 97 Rock, right? I'm just a little bit like, this is a little sloppy. Like, if I was producing this, I'd be like, this is a little sloppy for me. You know what I mean?
Right.
Not that I need it to be like guys and dolls or whatever. But anyway, I don't know. But that being said, I'll give some props. It's like, I do think, like, I'm not a huge, huge, huge Adam Page Bebe fan. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not a huge, like, Adam, like, he's not, Hangman Page, Adam Page is not one of my guys. But, like, his whole thing, like, the millennial cowboy shit, like, it all works for me. The music works. The gear works. Like, I get it. You know, mm-hmm. he's like a modern cowboy. It kind of fucking works for me. You don't have to, like, ride in on a horse, but you could. You see right. what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you could. Choose
to. You don't have to ride in on a beer truck and right. spray the ring with beer, but you could.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So Adam Cole could come in on a boom truck on a, with a boom mic?
A boom box.
With a boom box.
Yeah. It's just a boom box. It's just a box, and he points at it. It's boom.
Yeah. I read this, by the way. This is a random thing. Couple guy wrestlers' contracts are coming up in AEW, and they're set to expire.
Who's this?
Brian Cage.
Bro, he's still in AEW?
Yeah, but, well, I guess his contract's up, but they're not putting him on TV because they're planning to have it go off. Brian Cage, Joey Janela. I forget the other two.
I didn't even realize those.
Those were the two big names that were the two his biggest names that were going to be like not AEW guys anymore. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I didn't even realize that they were still to begin with.
Yeah, interesting. Because Brian Cage, I don't know. Would you keep Brian Cage or no?
I mean, when you have a Wardlow, you have a fucking Hobbs, you have a Luchasaurus to some extent. I don't know.
Probably they're like, we just don't have anything for them, really.
Right.
Kind of like, you know, they like Lance Archer more.
Right, Lance Archer.
Right, Brody they kind of like, they like their other monsters more than him, you know? Right. And I guess he had to have a mouthpiece, seems like. So they're kind of just like, eh.
Who was he with? Was he with Taz? Was he Team Taz?
He was, but then they like broke up and they were, right. like, had the FTW title, which is just odd because they like act like it's an actual
thing.
Title. It's very odd. Anyway, let's talk quickly about Sammy Guevara for a second. Do you, this Sammy Guevara? Oh, I forgot.
Sammy Guevara.
Oh,
Sammy Guevara Tay Conti.
Yes.
So it's very confusing because they're clearly setting up for this Cody feud, right?
Mm.
And I think Sammy's the baby face, right?
Yeah.
But the Sammy Tay stuff. Has a heel smell to it. Does it not? Does it not reek of heel?
What's the what stuff are you referring to?
Oh, you don't know all about this Tay Conti thing? Like he was engaged to
Oh, right.
that other woman that he got engaged to on a Dynamite.
But this is his shoot life feels heel.
Yeah, but if you so you don't follow him on Instagram.
No.
Oh, they're just on Instagram. Like he just went to Brazil to meet her family. They just work out together all the time. And just post pics like making out all the time. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now.
And so because, but that's what I'm saying. So like his shoot life, you're saying feels more heel than his like wrestling persona.
Look, it feels a little heel like he like, if like, it's like he just had that breakup and then now they're like just flaunting on TV and you know what I mean? And you're like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Look, I'm saying. Tulo's the one who put it in my mind. Tulo was like, I'm already sick of their. Whoopsies.
Yeah, okay.
Oops.
I like that, but
censored. You were just censored.
Phil, are you following any of this Tay Conti, Sammy stuff?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're like 26 years old, you know?
All right. Fuck you, bro. I was trying to make. Fuck you,
don't,
bro.
I don't know.
Yeah, Dan, what you want to talk about Euphoria next?
The TV
like,
show.
What the fuck? Yeah, I'm like, just saying. Who the like, fuck cares what?
Yo, Euphoria. I tell you the show. Euphoria. But Euphoria. You know what? Let's not talk. You know what? I'm off this point. I'm
Euphoria.
Well, I guess what I'm saying that's cool because Cody has like his whole like tweeter thing going on, and then Sammy's got a little bit of a tweeter thing going on for me. I think it's very interesting. Okay, yeah. That's what I thought was an interesting point. You guys both did not think it was an interesting point. So eat my ace. Okay, eat my ace.
Being
prepared for a night she'll never forget.
You are one weird dude. I love that movie.
I gotta
movie.
Say, I love you are one weird dude. Do I have that? Man, I can't even picture that movie right now. That's how Hell Comes to Frogtown, if you haven't seen that. Sorry, the late, great Rowdy Roddy Piper. You know, when I was a kid, I just called him Rowdy Rowdy Piper.
Rowdy Rowdy Piper?
It was just Rowdy Rowdy.
Like, I think I did that too.
Yeah, I think so. I didn't even, like, you know what I mean? I don't think I understood that there was a Roddy in there.
Right. It was just, he was super rowdy.
Yeah.
Rowdy Rowdy Piper.
Rowdy Rhonda Rowdy Piper. I mean,
this is a Rowdy Rowdy Piper.
Peacemaker. Started watching it last night. Yeah. We were going to talk about it. I'm only on the first episode still. Okay. So no spoilies, but I'll talk about it more. But couple things about Peacemaker. First thing is props to Ify Nwadaway, who is running the official Peacemaker podcast with HBO Max. First episode, James Gunn, his guest. Okay?
Yes.
Former Cal champion, Ify Nwadaway. So we'll give him props for that. Check that out. Support Ify. I'm supposed to go work out with Ify. Me and him have been talking about working out together. What do you think about that?
Oh, nice. I think that's great. I think, Gaines, supporting Gaines.
Gaines, support games, hustle, respect, muscle. But so here's the thing is Peacemaker.
Yes.
I was trying to – the first episode was fucking hilarious. Mm-hmm. I was trying to describe – was this project announced or is this kind of dropped?
I think it. I don't know. I think it was announced
after Suicide Squad 2 came out.
Oh, I didn't know they were even making this show. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how would you describe the game of Peacemaker? I actually think it's a little bit. It's not as easy to describe as possible, which is such a great zone for a superhero. I think to me, it's like
you mean like the character, what his game is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Peacemaker has like a whole joke that like you can't be violent but create peace, right? There's like a right. There's like a irony to the fact that like he's the peacemaker by hurting people, right?
Right.
And
right.
He literally has that line, which is like, "I will kill any, I will take out no matter what man, woman, or child needs to go down in the name of peace. I will do that." It's right. Kind of like a commentary on the like industrial war, right?
Military industrial complex.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's a comment on a lot of like
capitalism, everything.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's a character. Is the Peacemaker in the comic books before Cena existed?
What
is Peacemaker a DC property before the movie? Like he was cast as Peacemaker, or he's an original character? I don't ever heard of the Peacemaker.
He's cast as Peacemaker.
And is Peacemaker jacked in the comic books like that?
I don't know.
Because it's such a fucking hilarious thing. He has a kind of like that small dick syndrome, like, right? Of like, where like the first scene he's like, yo, the x-rays. Yeah, he doesn't look jacked in there. Like Cena, at least, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's clearly just a joke they have for because they cast Cena, right? So, like, he's like, oh, man, these x-rays don't show my small muscle groups. It's so fucking funny. Because that's, like, straight bodybuilder shit. Like, I don't want people to think I'm just a bulk guy. Like, I focus on my small muscle groups. This is a very Arnold way to talk. Like, 70s Arnold, you know? But if you describe...
Sorry,
I mean, it's just basically,
I was going to say, it seems like it's like right on the tip of my tongue, but it's like... there is a funny irony to peace by any means necessary. You know, like peace even through violence is, but how do you, like, what if a superhero was so good? I don't know. I don't know comedy. I'm not a comedian.
Wait.
I'm trying to phrase it.
Don't try to say it eloquently. What's your point? Like, it's fine.
Oh, no, I'm saying it's like what I'm trying to express is that, like, to try to say it as like a what if, to try to figure out the game of Peacemaker. Like, what if a superhero was so good or was so committed to peace that he was willing to kill to get it.
Exactly. It's fucking, it's brilliant. It's a great idea. And the aesthetic of him, he goes back to like his trailer, but it's American flag painted. You know what I mean? It's like pretty loaded. The character's like pretty loaded, but the show's very light. Which is, I think, a really, like, it's light, I think, is a really awesome zone. I the show is loaded with jokes. Who's the guy, I don't know what his ethnicity was, but the janitor in the beginning, that guy's so fucking funny.
Oh, he's in, like, everything, right? That guy?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah.
He literally is like, yo, I don't have any weed, man. That was a one-time thing. You know, he's like, yo, I'm not asking for that. But Cena, it's such a perfectly cast thing, and, like, how rare is it where you get a big talent like a Cena who's a name and a draw, you know, but also they're casting like the perfect part? It's such the sweet spot.
Yeah, he, I mean, you'll see throughout, he's far and away the best part about the show. I told you I had some gripes about it. Can't really get too specific without ruining anything. Are they
past the pilot, the stuff that you're upset by?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because right now I'm not upset, and I want to know if Newman. I want to know if I need to be upset.
No, I mean, because overall the show is very good. I'm just saying that there's two things, and I'll say it here. One of them is like James Gunn seems like a lovely guy, but his instincts are I suspect they are very corny, and so he makes decent and fun stuff in spite, I think, of his like very corny instincts. Like there's just, for me, the intro, I know everyone loves the intro, it's a little schmaltzy and lame in my opinion. And there's some of the like jokes and some of the sort of like things that he,
bro, like, I'll be honest, the intro did not blow me away like people expected me to.
No,
it's very fun, but actually the dancing is like kind of like, I don't know. I would went even goofier if that's what they're going for, but they really were training like non dancers to dance or whatever. So but I wasn't as blown away when I turned on the opening like I did expect for it. But I also it was spoiled for me. Like I knew what it was going to be.
I skipped it the second the fucking button came up on HBO Max. Skip intro, yes please. Get the fuck.
But it is fucking fun.
I also get douche chills so hard my skeleton falls out when like people say dance out in like an improv set when they like that when they their music is playing. If the team dances as they come out, I have a seizure. I cringe so hard.
That's a huge improv thing.
I know. So but it triggered that the intro.
I mean improv teams the are intro like they almost Peacemaker. Break up over the intro song. Like dude, the arguing intro, about it.
The intro to Peacemaker, this is my point. The intro to Peacemaker triggers me. In the same way that an improv team really groove into their intro music as they come to the stage triggers me.
You know what's so interesting is that, like, so I've been on many improv a team, and, like, you know, I'm not the guy who's like, let's come out and dance, right? But I'm also the guy who's like, I want to, like, everyone to be happy, you know, like, whatever, it's all good. So, like, I've been on so many teams where they're like, this is our gimmick way we enter, and every time I'm like, I remember one time I was on a team where we entered to like a Sleigh Bell song, like which is like fucking hate that band. This is not my style of shit at all. And every time it would hit, I'd be like, okay. Yeah. And then this would be past the song, and then everyone would be like dance around like to that kind of music, which I don't want to be dancing around to. But then once I go through, I'm dancing. Like it's like your improv brain is like, I gotta say yes to fucking everything. You know?
See, that's why I'm just built different. I can't Shebs is like that achieved. Too. A certain
Shebs,
level.
Shebs like I can't get. Shebs was like, yo, I can't improv. Like I can't be good at improv because I he's like I physically can't look like an idiot on stage. Like
I get it.
And he presses himself pretty far for cow shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like even then, like he'll think I'm not doing that. You know what I mean? I'm not doing that. Anyway. Oh fuck, man. All right. Last thing we'll talk about. We gotta get out of here. Royal Rumble is in 6 days. Oh my God. Is it insane?
Yeah. Wow. The road to WrestleMania. The on ramp to the road to WrestleMania.
It's on Saturday this year. I think it's a Saturday.
Oh, it is? It's not on.
I don't think it's Sunday. I think it's Saturday. I think it's the 29th.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's Saturday. Yeah, I can't even watch it live. So, but anyway, that being said, the Rumble, I mean, who are your picks for this Royal Rumble? Phil, you can get on this too if you're there.
Bobby Lashley and...
Well, Lashley's wrestling
or no,
Rock, who, by the way. Here's what I'll say. This pay-per-view, look, this Rumble pay-per-view has Brock Lashley, which is a match I think is awesome. I can't wait to see that. I'll be honest. I think WWE, I'll give him credit, have done a nice job of elevating Lashley. He's done a nice job of being jacked and doing it himself as well. And then Roman Rollins, like, I'll watch the fuck out of that match. Those are great matches. Plus the two Rumbles, you know, it's gonna be a better time than you expect, you know.
The Rumble has its own sort of like, it's always fun.
Yeah,
it's built into the gimmick of the match that it's like, just the best part is seeing who's next.
Right,
like doesn't miss. But
I think the only exciting guy to win the Rumble is AJ Styles. That's the only guy who people will be like, all right, cool. And even then, they won't be like ecstatic about it, but he's never won. And then you set up AJ for, you know.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, so here's
my pick is Sheamus.
I have a couple curveball picks. Ready? Almost. This is, right?
Okay.
What if they just set up a Brock Almost match? They just go for like a spectacle match at Mania, you know?
Mm-hmm.
To say those are stats of that. And then McIntyre is another possibility, you know?
But Kevin Owens, too.
Owens is a very fun one. He's a very fun one. Like, I think Owens is a chance where you'll be like, all right, let's see Owens go on a run here and get him a main eventing a Mania. Here's the problem. It's just like now Mania is two nights. I don't know what exactly the main event is. It's kind of annoying all year when they call, like, the first night, like, you main evented WrestleMania, you know? So, I don't know. And the women, I got Noah. I think Rhea, maybe? Like, I don't even know. Right?
Bianca
again.
Here's who's going to win the men's Royal
Sasha
Rumble.
Sasha could win. That would be fine.
Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah. Gian Knoxville is what I call him.
Gian Knoxville.
Yeah.
Johnny Knoxville is going to win men's. And Charlotte's going to win the women's.
Well, so she's the champion. She says if she wins, she gets to pick her opponent. So that is kind of fun, right? If she does that,
she's gonna win. Who else would?
I mean, and she picks.
I think Michelle McCool is gonna win.
Yeah,
I'm a huge McCool mark. I think we get definitely Alita win. I don't know. Whatever.
We might get Alita win.
It's possible, right?
Yeah. That's my like sort of like shocker pick.
Can I ask you guys a question?
AJ Reigns would be really fucking fun.
Before
though,
we go,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who would your wrestling parents be? Who would your mom and your dad be?
Oh, but they have to be just like, is there any parameters here? Like they have to map to my actual parents or are
no,
they
don't
like,
have to be the same age. No. They could be younger than you, older than you.
Yeah, it'd be Andrade and Charlotte.
Okay. All
right. I mean, I don't think that's
Wouldn't
true.
Wouldn't you love to be Andrade Charlotte's kid?
You're not thinking about it the right way.
That's the kind of couple is just banging in front of the kids, right?
Or no, not banging, but like getting real fresh.
I didn't say stepmom.
Yeah,
Dad.
Yeah. Just being like, hey, look at Adriana's. Hey, look at your mom's ass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? By the way, I'm saying that like sounds kind of Nita. Insulting or whatever. I mean, it like, hey, it's nice to see your parents into each other. Yeah, I think Nita kids like choice. That. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Look at your mira tu madre culo. Mira tu madre.
El ídolo.
I guess it would be, and I was tempted to say Malachi, but like I think I'm going to say Undertaker and
Kane.
No. Yeah. My dad.
It's really progressive.
My dad's our
brothers. Gay brothers.
Yeah.
They adopted me. A libertarian.
Wow. That's a real progressive. Mine's Brock and Sable. So, I mean.
See, the thing is, I don't know. Are they brothers? They're brothers by like loins, right? They're not.
Yeah, I don't know. They're brothers of destruction.
Destruction, right? Yeah. It implies that they are brothers. Their brotherhood is forged in destruction, not in the womb. But
I actually don't remember. I think they're brothers, but I don't
Undertaker,
remember.
Undertaker.
I don't have the lineage. I don't have the family chart up.
And fucking what's her name? Oh my God, I can't fucking. Oh, Luna Vachon.
Oh, sick.
Mine's Barry Horowitz and Alexa Bliss. to the two
Lexi two Kaufman Jews, and two Jews.
If you had to really choose who my dad is, my dad's Dean Malenko. Dean, and my mom is Sensational Sherry. My mom's name is Sarah Sherry.
Holy shit.
Dean Malenko and Sensational Sherry is the Richie Black and Sherry Black of wrestling. Someone Photoshop Dean Malenko with me in the middle of my Dean Malenko and Sensational Sherry.
And like a little baby bonnet.
Everybody.
Dan, it's your father. I came up with another hold.
What about Finn Balor winning the Rumble? Oops.
Finn Balor's daddy, not dad.
Yeah. All right, I got to run, everybody. Happy, if you don't listen, we'll be on, next time we'll talk to you, man, the other side of the Royal Rumble and on the other side of Beach Party, whatever Dynamite's called this week.
Beach Bash.
The Dynamite
Live
beach
from
bash.
Cleveland, the wonderful beaches of Cleveland.
And yeah, from the beautiful beaches of Cleveland and Rumble. But we'll talk more of Rumble on the bonus episode and this week after Dynamite. And I'll get back to you guys on when we have my first interview for when those episodes are one a month for that. And for the patrons, support the podcast, patreon.com/comedianswrestling. We do this shit ourselves. I appreciate your support. And everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Cheers up.